You are listening to Two Heels and a Face Wrestling Podcast, a podcast where we believe wrestling is a buffet and there's something there for everyone. Make sure you're following us on all social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook under Two Heels and a Face. That's number two, Heels and a Face. Make sure you check out our website, twoheelsandaface.com.
Ever, Two Heels and a Face.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Two Heels and a Face Wrestling Podcast. On today's episode, we're going to do a little bit of wrestling catch-up, in a sense. WrestleMania just happened. Very, very big weekend. It feels like it's a weekend that's just becoming larger and larger as the years go by. Obviously, WrestleMania has been two nights now. That's not a new thing, but there's that. There's
depending on who you ask, WrestleMania events start like Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for someone who, I think for you and I, for people who have been more selective in what we watch, really, is I think about a good way of putting it. We really only watch a lot of local stuff. It feels like an even more overwhelming weekend because there's two nights of WrestleMania to watch, and then there's a bunch of indies. But we were able to watch some things for WrestleMania. We'll talk about that, recap the buffet bracket quickly. But most importantly on this episode is a little bit of a preview for the upcoming Freelance show on a Saturday Freelance show in Freelance We Trust. So it's going to be a little medley of things. Chris, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, dude. And you were just talking about freelance. And, you know, this is when you can check that box and say that both of us are going to a freelance show, to the LSA. We did the Ego show, what was that, 2-3 weeks ago or something like that?
Yeah, we did. We went to Ego Pro. That was to both of us going to the same show. A little bit closer to you, but I made it out there. And yeah, we enjoyed that, didn't we?
That was tons of fun. And I'm glad that, you know, at least from what I've seen Ego posting, that it was a good turnout for him. It was what he expected. And hopefully that rolls into a yearly thing or however he feels like running. I don't know what those plans are, but it was a good time. I like the venue. It's not so close to me. I feel like where I'm at right now, I'm like, it's the halfway point between LSA and Joliet.
Oh, you're more halfway. Okay. I got myself.
But, you know, regardless, like my parents live out there too. So
sure.
I'm used to the drive, but regardless, like I think, like I was saying, I really like the venue. Anywhere you would be, you would get a good view of the ring. So that was exciting. And, you know, now this upcoming weekend, Freelance, I'm finally coming back to the LSA. I can't remember the last time I was there.
Return. You can't at all?
I mean, maybe that's just because of the drinks, but yeah, no, I don't know when was the last time I went out there, man. It's been a minute.
Yeah. I think that it has missed you. It told me. Speaking of venues, we're working on some written content. We're coming out with the top five indie venues local to the area. You know, LSA probably on that list. We talk about that venue a lot. We enjoy this venue. But yes, it's both of us being there. That counts as one show where both of us have arrived. So we're going to rub it a little in Coda's face. We're a quarter of the way through the year, so we're on pace, I think, if we hit one a quarter. but not every show is at the LSA, so we got to maybe be a little
strategic.
Bit more
frequent. Yeah. No, we'll get there. But for this one, I'm definitely excited. I need to be back at the LSA, and yeah, for sure. Like, show Freelance some love. I mean, it's a promotion that we talk a lot about, and even though I haven't physically been out there, I've been keeping up with it, and it'll be good to be there in person and just kind of, you know, party it up with the rest of the crowd there.
Of course. I want to get we're going to get an update. Maybe this month, I think we're going to do a recap episode with Robert Anthony as well. Talk about the party that went on after, if he went to the casino after Ego Pro. And then also too, I think we're going to get a little Missomania recap and probably have Missa on as well. So those are upcoming episodes we're trying to do. But in the meantime, some other things that have happened that are LSA related, sort of, at least Freelance roster related, is the buffet bracket happened, Chris. The buffet bracket.
We got champions.
We got champions. They're winning nothing. It's up to pat on the back and maybe a handshake. Maybe it's time for the Bangin' Matthews to come back on. It's been a while since they've been on the podcast.
Absolutely. Like, invite us out there for sure. If they want to come back, I think they're due for, you know, a quick check-in with Two Heels in the Face. And I mean, we will recap the bracket real quick. I'm gonna find the graphic and put it up. But I mean, they went against, you know, not the easiest teams either. So
definitely not. I mean, I think that a couple things that swung it, because we did the voting on Twitter. I'm not going to call it X. We did the voting on Twitter and Insta.
Mm-hmm.
The bracket was aligned so that GPA and Laney would face Joey, Jet, Avalon, and Sierra. Joey, Jet, Avalon, and Sierra, I think, winning their match going into the Instagram poll, and they lost. They got turned around by like 8 or so votes. So that was one that kind of swung. I think all the other votes are pretty straightforward. A lot of bussy love, of course. But yeah, Bangin' Matthews. And it's been so long since we talked to them, Chris. They were like,
it's been a minute.
They're still young. When we talked to them, they felt like fresh grads. They felt like these people just graduated college and they have no clue what the world holds for them. Now you see them and they were in Philadelphia wrestling for GCW. So they're kids, mm-hmm. they're making WrestleMania trips. A lot of people on the freelance roster aren't booked on Mania weekend and they want to be. Bangin' Matthews are there. And they've just grown a ton. So it'll be like talking to someone who's now very rugged in the workforce, you know, that 25, 30 year age where they're like, yeah, you know, I've had a bunch of jobs but they still got
they've definitely made towns and gathered titles along the way. So, I mean, yeah, that the semifinals was GPA and Laney Luck versus Bangin' Matthews.
Yep.
They first went up against Latinos Most Wanted, so you can see that. And then at the final was Bussy going against Bangin' Matthews. So, not the easiest of matches there, but they pulled through.
I saw that Effie even voted for them. Effie was doing the voting, and Effie voted against himself, against his team. Bussy is Alley Cat, and Effie. For those maybe new listeners, hopefully I'm sending this to some new people that'll have a little bit of a preview going into the show. We're bringing some new people to the show, but we'll get into that. But yeah, congrats to Bangin' Matthews on the buffet bracket victory. Tag teams, a new one we've done this year. There it is. Chris, you were key with the art this year. I mean, I'm just very impressed. So you had our whole aesthetic down. So great job on that.
Appreciate it. I mean, I think I try to make things better every year. But yeah, like, you know what? So, you know, the hardest part is getting those the photos, right, of the wrestlers, the what is it called?
The promos, the vignettes, like the, you know, the ones that they have for like 8x10s or match cards.
Yeah, 8x10, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because I mean, it's hard to get one where they're just by themselves. I can take the background out, but sometimes there's some design over their faces or something because of the poster board or the poster design that they have. So that's always the challenge. And for sure. And you know, for Bangin' Matthews, for sure. If you can get some promo pics out there into the interwebs, definitely do so. It's definitely hard to find one of theirs as a tag team. I found some individuals, but I definitely wanted to capture that tag team.
They need to visit Basil. If Basil's still doing those, because his always turned out pretty spectacular.
I started seeing Basil making his rounds back into the indies and doing some other work. I don't know if he has some, you know, in the collection, but yeah, for sure. Definitely hit up your photographers and get those shots. You know, for people like us who we just want to kind of do these fun things here and create some promotion around the work that the wrestlers are doing. Like it's helpful for for those graphics for sure.
Do it for us. Don't do it for yourselves. Do it for us. Chris, did you?
It goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. It goes both ways. Chris, did you catch some WrestleMania this weekend? Because I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I
okay.
think is like not something I usually do, but I caught some matches.
I did. I was a little bit under the weather, so that kept me in Friday night. And I was telling you that I watched the Hall of Fame, and mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. It had been, I think, like maybe 2 years that I didn't sit down and watch the Hall of Fame. It was something that Carla and I used to do, for sure. But yeah, we caught it. We, you know, the induction of Paul Heyman was pretty cool. Definitely brought back some good ECW memories. And
yeah.
I mean, he's a great promo as it is, so just give him the mic and he'll entertain you.
Absolutely.
but then Saturday I caught a couple matches. Okay. I was definitely looking forward to DIY. They had a ladder match.
I missed this one. How did it go?
So both tag titles were on the line. And
so it's like a unification thing?
No, so they were. It was a ladder match, but both set of titles were hung up. So
oh, wow.
A team could take one and another team could take a different one.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was, I wish I had more. I feel like what I was missing was the storyline.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, like a lot of matches for, you know, for that sake was like, I would kind of know what's going on, but not really. And I think it would have benefited more to know a little bit more of the storyline.
How did our boys do? How did DIY?
I mean, Ciampa did his finisher from the top of a ladder.
Okay.
I can't recall what the name of the finisher is, but
not important.
Right, regardless, I mean,
we're not great with names. We're not great with names.
Exactly. I'm not a commentator, so I shouldn't need to know all this.
You're not getting paid. Right? We're not getting paid for this shit. Screw it.
But yeah, they did well. It was just cool. I think it was Ciampa's first WrestleMania match.
Okay.
I think Gargano has had his WrestleMania match before. I'm not 100% sure. But New Day was out there. It was also cool to see the New Day with Big E during the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
You know, we don't get to see Big E a lot. So regardless, so that match was cool. I mean, the main event, I had it in the background. I wasn't paying too much attention to it. But that tag match was pretty entertaining. It was wild to see The Rock back again in the ring. So that was...
Yeah, he looks so different, doesn't he?
And he slimmed down, right? He looked, like, thinner to me. Like, I mean, you would see The Rock, and he's like this muscular guy, like, over the years that now we're used to seeing.
Thinner than like those when he started going viral for like working out of the gym at like 3 a.m. videos, like thinner than that, you mean? Because he's not thinner than when he was in the ring. Like,
no, for
like
sure.
Cena at Mania. He's like,
right, but you can definitely see
his head size has grown like four times,
exactly,
since, which is usually a sign of taking an innate human growth hormone, but allegedly, I'm not, you know,
yeah.
He can do whatever he wants, I guess. He's entertaining the folks.
He's the people's champ.
he doesn't look supernatural to me. That's fine. But I think he lost a little bit of agility, I think. But he's not in practice, right? He's old. How old is The Rock? We need to figure that out. But he still looks good. And he still looks jacked. But he just, it's a little different. It's a little different. He's just a little clunkier.
He's 51.
Okay. Well, and that doesn't, I guess it doesn't really matter if you're a wrestler because Taker's still popping up. So, but yeah,
Cena came out. Clunkier. He's 46.
Okay. Cena, yeah. Cena's hairline is going, but he looks fine. He can still toss off that shirt in a split
hair,
second.
Period.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw that. Cody lost the first night, which made obviously the second night way more dramatic. I watched Becky. I watched the opener of night one, Becky and Rhea Ripley.
Okay.
I feel like, speaking of lost a step, and I'm not, this is not me, like, once again, don't watch WWE in its current form. Haven't for years. And that's okay. We're okay with that. Feels like Becky has lost a little. I know she's a mom too. Shout out to moms. Shout out to mothers everywhere. I know she
happy
like
happy early Mother's Day.
Happy early Mother's Day. I know she had time off for that. It feels like she's lost a little step too. Whereas The Rock is like almost too much muscle now, and he lost like a little bit of his cat-likeness, cat-like agility. Becky seems to have lost a little bit of strength. She's like, and I'm not body shaming. I just feel like her power is not there. Her power is not there. She doesn't have as much muscle maybe as she used to. But
then also in comparison to Rhea Ripley.
She's in her prime. Rhea Ripley's in her prime. She looks great. She looks fantastic. And they both kind of had like this little like kiss, like 80s rock, like glam band, like eyeshadow, eye stuff going. I thought that was really good. The match I think was solid. Yeah. So I saw that one. I saw Jimmy versus Jay. I specifically went to that one. I was a little picky and choosy, right? Wrestling is a
book. Okay.
I saw Jimmy versus Jay. I thought that could have had more in it. Could have had more time. Could have had more storytelling. Could have had more slowing it down to like have the brothers do their brotherly thing. But it did. I thought it had some cool stuff in there. It had some
Was this night two or night one?
This is night one.
Okay.
It had some cool stuff in there where like fake swerves, like a fake, like God, I get him confused now. I don't know which one is which. Jim, the heelish one, I think it's Jimmy. He pretends to give up, then he doesn't. Then like really after Jay immediately beats him, you can tell there's like a lot of like sorrowness in his eyes. Like he doesn't want to beat up his brother. He just wants it to kind of be over kind of feeling. So they did a little bit of that, but it's just like these guys have basically been a part of the Bloodline feud. And I've watched some Bloodline stuff, and some Bloodline stuff kind of felt more important. And this I felt like should have just been given more time and more like room to breathe a little bit. So, yeah, that's what I saw basically from night one.
And did you watch the Sami Zayn and Gunther?
No, did you?
I watched it again because I'm not in tune fully with WWE and their storylines. I did like the fact that up front, like they made it feel important. Like they had from the back, Sami Zayn like talking to his wife, his kid, leading up to Gorilla Position where Kevin Owens is there, like he's like, you got this, like still like, you know, they have also had a huge storyline from friends to enemies.
Right.
To,
now they're like buds. Yeah.
Right. So they're back to buds. And it's like it was cool. They made it feel important. I'm like, okay, this gives me some sort of a piece of something to hang on to, or at least to go into the match with. So, I mean, the packages too, like I can't remember exactly what matches, but like they also did a pretty good job in certain matches, giving you background into that story. So that was pretty cool. And then just, no, that I am also getting confused, but I'm like, as far as night one.
Oh, I saw, DJ Z had a cool spot. Joaquin Wild.
Oh yeah. Yes. Joaquin Wild.
I was kind of skipping through his match, their match a little bit, but I saw that he had a really, really cool spot where he like, they like slingshotted him off the second rope.
Right. I think the first time that they, that was like a viral clip when he did that in NXT.
It's cool that he's at Mania. So, that's sweet.
Doing that at Mania.
Yeah. Just knowing him.
I did not understand the, because it was supposed to be Rey and Dragon Lee. That was the official match. And then like, I guess a couple days before they swapped it to Andrade and Rey, which it was fine, but it's kind of cool what they're doing with the LWO and that stuff. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, out of night two, just kind of looking at the card here, I saw the cash-in happened, which I thought was good. I kind of like the Drew versus CM Punk, and Drew's like kind of trolling him and stuff. I'm kind of following that. That's one you can kind of follow through social media.
Yeah.
the street Philadelphia street fight with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits was like I was crying laughing at one point. That was because they tried to set up a table and the table just was too like overworked basically, and it just broke. They like set it up and the leg just collapsed. Oh, and like, so they had to go get another table. So there's like this awkward pause. And then while that's going on, one of the Street Profits just takes a candlestick and is just like basically biding time because they have to go get another table. And he's just whooping Killer Cross with a candlestick, and Snoop Dogg's on commentary. And he's just yelled, whoop that trick. Whoop that. And he's just yelling that. That part made me laugh pretty hard. And oh, Io Sky, check this out. Immediately after watching Io, first of all, we're like, I kind of felt like, once again, just I'm not hating on her too much, but I felt like Becky had kind of lost a step, or at least in this match she did. I'll say that. I think Bayley still has it, but I think Io Sky reminded me again like how good she was and still is. She was the best, I think, women wrestler that I saw on both of the nights, which I didn't see all of it. She was amazing. And immediately I started missing old NXT when I watched her because she reminded me of Kairi Sane. Because she's Joshi. And I went then and watched Kairi versus Shayna Baszler at like a old NXT show. And I remember when we were really in NXT. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
And also, so I did also catch, cause NXT is early in the morning now. I caught a little bit, and they're like, I think if I would spend like some time watching NXT, I think they're getting back to their roots a little bit as far as how they're putting stuff together.
I'm sure because this is Triple H's basically first WrestleMania and fully in charge, right? So I'm sure like his influence is spreading again to like when he was running NXT almost.
And I think Shawn Michaels is the one that's leading NXT now.
Oh, okay. So it's probably similar. Like,
yeah. Credit to NXT, like watching clips and little bit of stuff that I put it in the background as I was doing some other stuff on Sunday morning. But I think if I give it a chance and spend some time there, like I think I would definitely like buy into the NXT. It gave me that NXT feel of when we were really into it.
Back in my day. That's how I feel right. Talking about
yep,
it.
Yep.
The main event in night two, the story was finished, and here's what I'll say. You could make the argument like, oh, right, there's too much popping up, there's too much interference. But like interference was kind of like the name of that because of the night one main event, now all this stuff happened. So it was a chain reaction. I thought it was way I liked it because it was way different than their first fight at the WrestleMania prior. I wonder if there's a way where we can kind of end a WrestleMania match without like someone doing their finisher three times to end it. That's always seems like that's the card pulled. Like, and now they do their finisher three times, and it's like that just kind of seems like the ace in the hole card, which I'm like slightly a little sick of, although I don't watch a ton of Manias. But the chain reaction of things that took place and like the callback to the Shield betrayal, it was just like one crazy pop after another where like, you're just like, whoa, and like just constantly. I thought it was pretty cool leading into the finish.
And because we're in such a crazy era, I did not, like, I thought like there was like a 5% chance. I'm like, did they bring Ambrose back just for, you know?
Dude, yes. My mind went there too when the Shield music hit. That's a great call. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, right? At this point, like, I don't know politics and all that, but it just feels like it's a possible thing.
Yes.
You know, like shit, like that'll be dope if it's Ambrose and clearly we're not good with names. What's his name?
Rollins.
Rollins. Yeah.
Yeah. He came out in like that really like puffy vest too. Where
yeah, that, like, the shield. Up,
like. Yeah, but there's like his always had like too much like pockets in the front. There's like it's like too much going on. But no, I mean, how can you not? The Undertaker built the bell still. I mean, you're not a wrestling fan, and you don't have a pulse if that doesn't hit you well every time. So it was amazing, and he was literally there, and like I love how like every time he comes back, he just kind of gives less and less of a shit. And he's just like wearing his Bengals sweatshirt. No one really cares, but it's just like, yeah, if I'm gonna keep coming back and doing this, I'm just gonna wear like what I wear out on a Saturday night.
Did you catch though, like Cody was going under the ring to get something, and you saw like somebody move under the ring?
Was that Solo?
So I don't know if it was Taker, if it was Solo, but I'm like,
oh, I don't know.
Like I was sitting down watching this with Carla, and I'm like, did you catch that? And I'm like, I did, but I don't know. Like, she's like, well, you know, you can go back. I'm like, nah, I ain't going back. I ain't rewinding it. But then, I think today, some like articles started coming out with like that people also caught that when Cody like went under the ring to pull stuff out, you saw some movement down there. So
I love it.
But regardless, I mean, I think that was like, I didn't really understand the Taker, because I thought, based on also speculation and all that stuff, when The Rock was beating up Cody outside of Allstate a couple weeks back, the truck that was out there had Cena and Stone Cold, and those were like Easter eggs saying that they were gonna be part of that interference. And I'm like, if Stone Cold comes out, you know, him and The Rock have been, you know, had this long history of WrestleManias, that would have been cool, but I mean, Taker's Taker, so.
I think that I don't really know where that he fits in the storyline. Was that just because like Roman ended Taker, and that's why Taker kind
of? I just took it as Taker's Taker. He's like the leader in the back, you know, regardless of whenever, you know, whether he's there or not. He's always one of those like you can insert him anywhere, and
yeah,
he's trying to be fair. Or be,
do you think him, Hornswoggle, and like Solo are just like chilling under the ring this whole time and just like playing?
They're cards. Playing cards.
They're playing Bones. You know, Taker used to play Bones.
Yep.
They were just playing Bones. That's great. Yeah, so that was WrestleMania. That's our recap. But no, I know they do a good job of like making it the show appeal to everyone, casual fans, diehards. Yeah. You know, there's still some probably stuff in there that I missed that, like, because I haven't been watching. But then there was some stuff I caught because I have watched in the past, like the Shield callback and stuff like that. So, yeah, it really is truly still a spectacle, honestly. They get celebrities involved still. Not to the point where it feels weird either. Like, Snoop Dogg on commentary felt fine, felt normal.
Him and his gold title, I'm like, why are you letting him walk around with a title? But
there's titles ever. The Rock got one at the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I'll get you a title. I'll get you a title for Saturday. Get freelance another title.
Hey, shout out to, of course he listens, you know, Damian Priest. I did not expect him. Like, I completely forgot that he had the briefcase to begin with. His cash in. And then seeing that he's the first Puerto Rican to win a heavyweight title.
Oh, shit. History.
In 50 years, I think.
Oh,
I can't recall the last one that had it. Not history, but it's been over 50 years or something like that. And I do think that they're doing, like, it's pretty cool what they're doing with their faction, with Dominic Mysterio and... Like, I think they also have... Oh, well, Rhea Ripley has the women's title. I don't think they lost the tag titles.
Okay.
So. But
doing the whole title thing, but yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Freelance Saturday, shall we?
Freelance. In Freelance, we trust.
This is the return of Mustafa Ali.
The Mustafa Ali, yep.
The show has been sold out for a hot minute. Different than it's on a Saturday. I got a friend and his wife coming, and Margaret has coworkers coming. I don't think these coworkers are even know what wrestling is. They might, but they're not exactly sure, and that's okay. That's okay. This is not a judge. This is a positive cast, not a judgmental podcast. But my friend who's coming with his wife, he grew up watching. We used to have rumbles in his basement, to be fair. And I think he was a huge Bret Hart stan growing up. I think it was Bret. Yeah. And I remember him, the Rumble, it was the 94 Rumble, maybe 93, where Bret and Lex fell out and touched the ground at the same time. He like loves that Royal Rumble.
Okay.
So yeah, he might be only, he's 2 years older than me potentially. So around our age. Yeah. So they're coming, excited to introduce both of those groups to Freelance. But yeah, anything on this card jump out to you? Obviously, there's Storm versus Mustafa Ali, right? That's really going to be the main event.
Yeah.
Huge test for Storm. I don't even know if is he actually ready for this? I don't know if he's actually ready for this.
Has he cut any promos about it? Like, have you seen any promos on social media?
I don't know. I've seen some tweets. Okay. I think he's like, his tweets kind of seem like he understands the magnitude of this challenge. I know he's fought big names. This is the biggest wrestler that he's fought in terms of his Freelance title run, because this is a huge name, as well as someone still probably in their physical prime or close to it. This is not Paul London. No offense, Paul London. This is a person who's been a Freelance world champion before. This is a person mm-hmm. who like now has been, I think, undefeated since coming back on the Indies. Do you think do you think Storm is going to escape with the belt? Would they, Ali kind of seems to be doing this entire continental thing where he's going to all these states. Like it just doesn't feel like he's going to kind of settle at Freelance yet. I don't even know where the man lives. But I don't know, but it's kind of feels like, because he could still take the belt because he of this history with Freelance. So I'm like really torn on this one.
So it just making sure that the belt is on the line then? It's not just a match.
Unless you read something differently?
No. Just want to make sure that's the case, or double check here, but If the title's on the line, like, yeah, I don't know how Storm walks away with that. Like, I mean, he could definitely.
Title is on the line.
Title's on the line. Okay, Freelance.
But Ali hasn't lost yet, right? Is that undefeated indie streak still going?
I think it's still on. Yeah. So that will be interesting. I mean, then again, Storm has been around for a while, right? Whether he's been training for years before he had his first official match, I even want to say and assume that Ali could potentially had been one of his trainers in the past.
Yeah, there's probably more. They probably have had. They even if you look at them, they look like it looks like Storm Grayson, like when he's like a second level Pokemon and he evolves Mustafa Ali, like when he gets a higher enough level. And that's no offense to Storm Grayson. He probably would hate me hearing that and saying that. But, like, Ali has just been to the big time. He has been champion before. It doesn't really feel like he wins Storm. It feels like Storm loses. That's kind of what I'm feeling like.
Okay.
And then it would make sense for – I mean, Ali, I don't know. That's what I'm feeling. Do you feel differently?
I feel that Storm is walking away with that title, but I don't think it's a clean win.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And he's never really cheated too much. I don't see Storm as like a big cheater, but he might have to. He might have to cheat. Pull a page out of G. Let's call up GPA and get some of the old tricks going. No offense, GPA. That was kind of a ricochet shot. Other matches on the card. Trevor Outlaw with Frank the Clown versus Reagan Lydale. I think it's interesting what Trevor does from here with Frank. I think Trevor and Frank could get a ton of momentum, but I just don't know if they know where to go or who to attack or who to kind of wrestle yet. You know, that is Trevor Outlaw and Frank the Clown are kind of like a powder keg waiting to happen, but no one's lit the fuse yet. And I just don't know if they found awesome tests for Reagan. She deserves it. I know they've wrestled before. This is different. This is LSA. The lights are going to be on. And yeah, I think Trevor and Frank come on top. I don't know where they go next after this, but I feel like the Reagan Lydale might be, unfortunately, a little stepping stone here to something bigger. But hey, I wish you could prove me wrong because I love seeing Trevor Outlaw lose.
The six-man scramble match.
So Corbin is being a little... He's being cowardly.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to use a C-word and not that C-word that you might be thinking, but he's going to be... We're going to use a C word. Cowardly Corbin. He hand-picked this freelance scramble. For those of you listening, scramble is like 6 or 7 people all in one match. First one to get some pin wins. There is no tags or anything like that. He handpicked it. The winner gets a shot at the freelance legacy title. Specifically did not pick Kota because he's dodging Kota. That's what makes him cowardly. He's running away from Kota Hernandez. He did pick Darius Luttrell. Now, Darius Luttrell, I think, is the favorite to win this because he's won scrambles. He knows how to win a scramble. Darius Luttrell wins. Does he then give his title shot up? Does he then try to take the title shot and win the Legacy Championship from Corbin, thus sparking a feud between Kota and Darius? Uh-oh.
Ooh.
Ooh. But, yeah, Corbin is kind of just being – cowardly. Honestly, we've said a lot of good things about Darren Corbin on this podcast, but he's being a C word right now, but that C word is cowardly.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see where that goes, but I think, you know, you definitely have Chico who's been running wild, but, you know, then you have Gonzalez, El Torero, who I'm not too familiar with. Barkley and Brave. So this is the 6-man scramble. Winner gets a shot at the title against Corbin. Is it not that same night, right?
No. That same night, Darren Corbin has an open challenge.
Okay.
Yep.
Open challenge.
So I don't know if Kota's going to answer that. I don't know if Kota's going to answer the open challenge. If Kota answers the open challenge, is Corbin just going to wave it off?
Right, because that was the original match that was supposed to happen, right?
No. They were
supposed to face each other, and then he called it off, I think. Was it last freelance show?
No, he said he's going to give... Kota's going to get the match he's always wanted. That we all thought and assumed that was a Kota versus Darren Corbin. Kota, I believe, was gifted some other match that is not obviously the free shot at the freelance title. So Corbin has been dodging Kota.
Got it. So we'll see where that lands us. A tag team match. Bussy versus PME.
Bussy versus Marino PME. Experience.
Yep.
The Bussy reign, freelance tag title reign. That means we're going to see a lot more of Effie. Effie is an absolute spectacle and legend. He's an icon. I'm really glad what it's cool is like if I bring someone to a freelance show and Effie's not there, I'm like, oh god, you know Effie's not here though. But like yeah. Seriously, like the Effie really enhances a freelance card. So does Dan the Dad. Dan the Dad is not on this one, but like seeing those two is like, that's just like, and when I feel like Freelance is at their strong, I know you can't have them on every card. They can't be on every card, but like, if you were to do a Freelance dream card, Effie is on the card. Dan and Dad is somewhere on the card. So it's cool that people can see Effie do his thing. So yeah, they're going to take care of business, I think. No doubt.
Another tag team match. The Buffet Bracket champions, Bangin' Matthews, Gage and Isaias Velasquez.
Yeah. This is cool. Same engage, Isaias Velasquez. Kind of a notice that it's not Saban and Kota, right?
I feel like right.
Kota's got other things on his mind. We talked about it. But Isaias kind of filling in here, kind of like a student coach type of team, which could be really good. This one's going to be high flying and fun. Bang and Matthews always do their thing. So, yeah, looking forward to this. The other one is the other tag match. There's a lot of tags, honestly. At least three tags and a scramble on this. So but we're going to get our singles action in as well. But, yeah, the other one is Craig Mitchell and Shane Mercer with James Russo. So James's bullies, his goons, are going to beat up Robbie Reeves. Like, Robbie Reeves is a nice guy here, and he's going to get beat up. Like, that's not fun. That's not fair. How is that fair? Shouldn't Shane Mercer and Craig Mitchell be, like, wrestling? No offense to Robbie Reeves and Son Ambrose, but, like, this is kind of feeding, like, you're just feeding them to the wolves here. How is this fair?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, I mean, they're going to come in and do their thing. It'll be a good experience for Reeves and Ambrose, but I don't know if they're able to pull off the win. Now, if they do, it'll be huge. But also, it'll be a good experience if they don't. And that's kind of how I'm seeing it here. But, yeah, Mitchell and Mercer are just there to, once again, try to prove a point and just put another W in their belt and you know, just trying to figure out you know, what's next for them, right? Like, who's the real challenge here?
Yeah, definitely. It's a fun card. It's a great card to introduce people to. This is some people's first Freelance show. Like I said, Effie being on it is great. I don't know what's going to happen with Storm. When you go into a card and you're like, there's like a lot, there's a lot of things that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's better than like, oh yeah, you know, this person, we're flying in this person, but they're great, but they probably won't kind of, you know, they're going to have a good match, but they don't kind of further anything. They might just lose. They're just kind of here to draw tickets. Mustafa Ali is here to draw tickets, but he's also a Freelance original faithful. And he sold the place out. I think him kind of selling the place out, I would assume, allowed for a little bit more flexibility with this card, right? Like, we can do some other shit. We can take some more risks here. The house is full. And yeah, I really think, like, it could be one of those nights, you know, like one of those nights on Raw where, like, someone has a storyline and it spans like three segments, something like that, where it's like, yep, you see this person at the beginning, then you do have a middle segment, and then they have like a third act. I really think we could maybe see that with like Kota and Corbin. I think Kota might try like the different ways to get in his shot, get into this match versus Corbin. He's probably going to answer the open challenge. He's probably going to be turned away. So it's like, there's a lot of interesting stuff that can happen. Like, I don't think there's really any way you can sit down and kind of predict this one, I think, which makes it really cool.
And I think there's even potential for a match, like for an additional match, even if it has not been announced.
Yeah. So, how many were announced, you know?
Well, right here, we just went through one, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Okay.
It's a good amount of matches, but I think definitely with that, you know, Kota and having an asterisk next to his name and not sure how he's going to participate or if he's going to participate or not. Like, I think the open challenge also kind of allows us to be able to speculate a little bit on a potential additional match somewhere down the line.
Yeah. Maybe a surprise person goes through the belt. Maybe a Kylie Rae answers the call. We've seen her wrestle Corbin before, and it was great. Yeah, I don't know. It could be maybe a Chris Romero answers the call for the open challenge, the freelance legacy title. You get your shot.
I'm out of ring shape. You know, I would have to. You know,
you're not
a couple months to get back in there. You know,
you're not in soccer form. You got to get the Sunday soccer league going, then we'll get you in there.
That's right.
Yeah.
But all right, I mean that we will definitely be out there Saturday in Freelance We Trust at the LSA. Looking forward to that, man. It's been a minute that we haven't been out there, so definitely we'll be cracking some Modelo's open.
Yeah, if you're still listening, I think like stick with us on content. We re-released the Kirby episode, and then we took a couple weeks off, but we have written some stuff which is not live yet. And we got more coming this April. Hopefully talking to, like I said, Missa Kate and Ego. And maybe we'll love Bang and Matthews again since they're buffet bracket winners. Thanks to all who voted. Thanks to all to just even give it a retweet. It's a click of a button, but it means a lot to us because it gets people more involved in it. It's great. It's going to be nice to introduce freelance to new people. It's going to be nice to go again. And yeah, we're going. You better go. You got to go because we got to cross it off as like one of our things. So.
Absolutely. Tickets have been purchased. So
yeah, but I need you physically there. So you better take some Motrin or some ibuprofen or whatever you need. NyQuil.
Or maybe just a little bit more whiskey and you just, you know, kill whatever's inside with that. So
sure. That works.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Looking forward to see whoever's gonna show up at the LSA on Saturday. Other than that, make sure you follow us on social media, Two Heels in a Face. That's number two, Heels in a Face. Check out the website, number two, Heels in a Face. There's that article coming up where we're gonna kind of rate some Chicagoland venues. So that's in the works.
Should be a fun one.
It should be a fun one. I definitely would like to know people's opinion on those top five and honorable mentions. Everybody experiences wrestling differently, and the venue is a big part of that experience. So I think this is it'll be pretty cool to hear other people's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to that. And outside of that, I mean, that's pretty much all I have. Make sure you hashtag Viva La Chico.
Please do.
All right. Thanks.